Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. So, we've been talking about the dinim, of as opposed to Pora, where there's no Nafka Mina between a Rishon and a Sheni, and so on. So the last Mishnah that we had was talking about how about if you have two different levels of Tuma. So you have either a Chatzi Beitza of Rishon and a Chatzi Beitza of Sheni. What would be the din? And what if you had a Beitza Shlema and they got mixed up together and then you split them up? What would be the din? Today we want to talk about how about if you have the same situation, but you have a Kebeitza of Ocha, which is a Sheni, and a Kebeitza Ocha, which is a Shlishi. So then the same general halacha applies, and the din is that you can always be metame like the kal shebineihem. So you would think that, therefore, in this case, you've got a full kebeitza, remember. We're not talking about putting together a chatzi beitza. So in this case, if there really is the full kebeitza and you mix them up together, then we wouldn't say kal shebineihem. But if you split them into two after smushing them together, so now you have to assume that neither piece of one kebetzer will have a kebetzer shalema of sheni, and therefore it's only metamik a kal shebineihem. And just by using a knife, you turn a sheni into a shlishi. So therefore, ze shlishi, vize shlishi. And, nafal zela atzma, vizela atzma al kikar shel truma, since the din is that they are both shlishis, and they fall onto a kikar shel truma, meaning not at the same time. One of them falls, we take off that one, and then one of them falls, so that there was no time that we can say that there was definitely a negia b'sheni, so then they didn't even pass to the truma, because a shlishi does not have impact on truma at all. So therefore, the truma remains completely tahor. However, if nafnu shneim ke'achat, and they're not together, but they're touching together, so then we paskin like the chachomim that we mentioned earlier in the Mishnah in Eilois, which according to them, you can be mitzarif, two separate negiyas, into a shir, or over there we even had the negiya and being in the same oil, because that's also nechshav like a negiya. Of course, that's not negiya over here, because it would not be any kind of concept of oil on a sheni and a shlishi, obviously, but the principle is the same. And therefore, in this case, they did pasul it, and they made it into a shlishi, which is the way we refer to truma that is nifsa. So, what about if you've got a major difference, not a difference between a rishon v'sheni or a sheni v'shlishi? You have a difference between a rishon and a shlishi. So let's say you had a full kebetz of an ocha, which is a rishon, and a full kebetz of an ocha that's a shlishi, and you mix them together, there you got another problem. The other problem is that the rishon will make the shlishi a sheni. Didn't think of that one, huh? So in that case, obviously it doesn't go like the kal shebineihem. So if you have a kebetza ochel rishon and a kebetza ochel shlishi, and you're bolam ze bezeh, so now the whole thing is considered to be a rishon in this case for sure, because you have a kebetza of rishon. But even if you were chilkan, they don't go back to being kekal shebineihem. Both pieces are now considered to be a sheni. Why? Because even what was originally a shlishi had actually come into contact with the rishon, and therefore it made it a sheni. So af hashlishi shenaga b'rishon nase sheni. So at this point, it's all considered to be a sheni, and it's now basically rishon mixed with sheni. You don't have for sure a kebetz of a rishon, so each one becomes a sheni. Okay, so here we're talking about where you cut it in half. If you cut it in half, then you definitely have enough to be metame. Question is, to be metame as what? So we're saying, okay, to be metame as a sheni. That would mean that it would turn truma into a psul. But how about if you've got shnei beitzim of an ochel rishon, and you've got shtei beitzim of an ochel sheni, and you were bo'olam zebezeh, So, as we said, the whole thing has a Beitza of Rishon, and it's a Risha. If you split it into two separate pieces, you still have to be machmir and not say, well, maybe it was distributed unevenly. No, you have to assume a homogeneous spread, and therefore each piece you have to treat as a rishain, and because it's certainly possible that each piece has in it a full beitza of rishon, assuming that it was homogeneously mixed. But how about if you cut it up into smaller pieces? So if you cut it up into three pieces or four pieces, now they go down to being a sheni, because in that case, you don't have a right to assume that there was anything more. There were only, after all, two beitzim. We're not going to say that those two beitzim were inside one beitz on each one piece, and one piece didn't have any. So therefore, you split it into three or four pieces, then it goes down to being a sheni, and we are view it only as a sheni. It's not that it's impossible. The reason that we don't view it as being a problem is because it's essentially, it would be a sveik sveika. Once we're taking into consideration that maybe there was a full kibetza in the two pieces, so then we're taking into consideration that maybe none of them might have, and even if one does have, which one of them would it be? So therefore, we actually see it as the equivalent of a sveik sveika. And this would be true, as we did in the first situation where we were talking about first rishon v'sheni and then sheni v'shlishi. We do the same thing over here in the Mishnah of shtei beitzim. So if you've got shtei beitzim ochal sheni, or shtei beitzim ochal shlishi, shepololon zebezeh, so then obviously we're going to be machmer because we have definitely a kibetz sheni, and we have to treat the entire thing as a sheni. And if you were mechalik it so that you still have a shear of shtei beitzim in the two pieces because you had a total of four altogether, there's still going to be the chomur of zeh sheni v'zeh sheni. But if you split them up into three or more pieces, l'shosha ol arba'a, then they will go down to being a shlishi.
Rabbi, what is the function of the chaf?
I don't know. I don't know. Now, let's talk about the next Mishnah, where the shaila would be, can you actually combine something from another thing where it wasn't smushed together, but in this Perek Echad Mishnah Zayin, how about if you have mikrat sot that are noshchot zo v'zo, or you have kikarim that are noshchim ze v'ze? So basically, you've got some dough, and they bite one another. In other words, they're stuck. You pull them apart, and there's always a little bit of one thing that gets attached to the other thing if you've got a dough. And even if you have bread that was attached together and now you pull them apart, they don't pull apart in a way that completely separates one from the other, which was the way it was originally made. If they were touched together and baked together, one piece, so to speak, is no sheikh. It bites. It takes a bite. That's what we say in English. Actually, takes a bite out of something else. So then the question is like this. Suppose one of these pieces, nitmet achat mehem besheretz. So let's say one of them is touched by navatuma. Doesn't necessarily have to be a sheretz, of course. Then, actually, as long as they're stuck together and you haven't pulled them apart, so then if they would have been noshech when you pull them apart, so they are considered to be one piece. And if a sheretz touches one of them, it doesn't go down from the first one as a rishon, the second one as a sheni, and then it's only would be potzel. If it's truma, it would all be one food. And then, if you do break them apart, it still remains tameh. So pirsho, when you pull them apart, they all remain the rishon and the truma as they were. Now, if one of these pieces were not touched by a sheretz, they were touched with mashkin. So the halacha is one of the chumras that we do with mashkin. Remember First of all, just always remember that when we use the word mashkin, we're referring to the mashkin called Yad Dam Shachat. That is our siman for the Shiva mashkin. And one of the takonas that the Chachomim made, if you recall, is that mashkin chayzrin liyot techila. So wherever a mashkin is tameh, it is tameh as a rishon latuma, and that was one of the chumras that we had made early on in the early takonas of the dinim of tumah v'tayra and the yudches tvorim. So if it was touched by a mashkin, and a mashkin is always a rishon, then by definition they are all going to be a sheni. And when you break them apart, then they will remain a sheni. It's not as if this is a din of tumah b'chiburim, meaning that it's only insofar as they're connected that they're all considered to be like a yad sort of to something else. No, each piece became in and of itself a actual tumah as if it was touched directly. Now, how about a third case? How about if they weren't touched by neither an avatuma, nor a rishonatuma, they were touched by your hand, stam yadayim. As you will recall, stam yadayim have a din, again, as the chumra that we made because of the chiyav of netilas yadayim, that if you touch truma, it becomes a shlishi because your hands have a din of a sheni. Now, chulin will not be affected by a sheni. So, in this case, they would all become tameh as a shlishi, and if you pull them apart, we're talking about truma over here specifically, and if you pull them apart, they would all remain posel because it is not a din in tuma b'chiburin, it's a din of real tuma. So noshchin is more than just stam, the idea of shemer that we had before, yad that we had before. It's actually one thing. Now, how about if we've got the same issue of having been mikratzot, meaning that they were taking a bite out of, would take a bite out of, if you pulled them into apart. So then a mikretzet, let's take one of these pieces that was a mikretzet, meaning it was a rishon, it was haita techila, and you pushed other pieces into it, and they all became bites in the sense that if you, at this point, the dough would have been separated, it would have also been pulled off. So the first Mishnah talked about where it was connected and then touched. Here it's talking about where something was connected. Before something was connected, it was tummy, and now we connect it afterwards. The din is that these are all considered to be one piece. And because of that, it also doesn't go down from one piece to the other. So the moment that you would touch, let's say, truma to the piece that's attached to the piece that's attached to the piece, even though it was only attached subsequent to the truma, it's all considered to be tame, and it would be metame the truma, because if it was a tchila, they're all tchila. Now, what about if you separate them off, again, you pull them apart, so then he tchila, so then the first part is considered to be a rishon l'tumah like it was. But here, as opposed to the previous case, where in the previous case they were mekabel the tuma together, and therefore even when they're pulled apart, they still have the same level of tuma that they had. In this case, they were not mekabel tuma together. They're only considered to be tamei on the level of a tchila and a rishain because they were all one piece with the original rishain. But now when you separate them out, they are no longer the rishon. They are a piece of dough that touched the rishon. And therefore, at this point, they become a sheni. So the first part, of course, retains its original din of being a tchila. But anything that had been added to it subsequently is called a sheni. So hi tchila vekulam sheniot. The same thing would be true. We're going to go through the same three levels that we went through in the Mishnah before. Suppose the first part was not a Rishon. It hadn't come into contact with the Sheretz. It had come into contact with Mashkin. So now it was a Shnia. And now we stuck other people into it to the point where we can't pull them apart without getting a little bit of dough ripped out so they take a bite. And that's what we're calling mikratzot, even when they don't take a bite. Remember, the mikratzot is that which is potentially a mikratzet. So if the first piece was a shnia because it touched mashkin, and ishikla achirot, so now they all become shniot. If we tear them apart, so then the original piece remains. Of course, the shnia that had come into contact with the rishon, which was mashkin and kol mashkin mechosev lios tchila, it would always be a sheni. But the other parts that were only considered to be a sheni because they were mechuber, in this case, they are not mechuber. And therefore, they are actually only going to be a shlishi, which means that they're only going to be posel and they're not going to be tamei. How about if the first piece itself had touched Yadayim, like in the previous mission, and therefore it itself was only posel and it was a shlishit. So then, even if you smushed other parts into it that became mikratzot, and there would have been no way to separate them without pulling a piece off, it would not work the same way. In this case, he shlishit, and the rest of them are tar, even if we didn't tear them apart. They remain tar, and it doesn't matter whether we separated them off for the first piece or we left them onto the first piece, because since what we had before was only a shlishi, and they couldn't have been affected by the first piece in terms of making them tamei on any level, because a shlishi doesn't create a revi. The same way that it doesn't create a revi, it doesn't expand into pieces that are attached to it. And because of that, the entire thing is tahor, except for the original piece, whether it's bechibor or not bechibor. And that's why we needed to have the second Mishnah, to make it clear. Once we get into the tchum of not tuma, but psul, psul does not extend even into mikratzot. Lovely. All kinds of new, wonderful ideas, shortly to be pressed into immediate usage.